If Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, you could call these few weeks after Christmas the most introspective time of the year. Hi, I'm Rob West. This is a time when we can resolve to live with greater faith and purpose, and this should include our investing. I'll talk about that today with Jason Meyer, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always great to have Jason Meyer on the program. He's the executive director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management, and an underwriter of this program. Jason, great to have you back with us.
Hey, good to be with you again, Rob. Thanks.
Jason, in the spirit of the new year, I understand that you have a personal reflection and even a goal-setting exercise for us today, which I'm excited about. Is that right?
That's right. One of the things I'm really thankful for is just new cycles of time and life that allow us fresh vision for our lives. And I think about Lamentations says the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. And if they're new every morning, how much more are they new with each new year that we're granted life? So I hope everybody's just filled with fresh hope and encouragement at the brand new mercies of God on offer today.
Amen. All right. So why don't you dive in? What do you have for us?
Yeah. So I'd like to take advantage of the new year for some personal assessments and goal setting. Now, I don't know if you've ever done one of these new year assessments, but if you have, you'll know that many of the tools out there kind of encourage us to break down our lives into different categories for reflection. So maybe a finances category, a faith or spirituality category, an area to think about our work goals, our family life, our health, et cetera. And breaking things down like this into separate categories can help us in isolating those parts of our lives for closer examination and reflection, but it can also create divisions between our faith and these other parts of our lives, which are not really separate. So, for example, we can assess our finances separate from our faith, which can lead us to miss, of course, the ways in which financial decisions can have very real moral and spiritual dimensions to them, which I know is something that you talk a lot about here on the program.
Yes. Well, that's exactly right. So faith should really be the lens through which we consider all areas of our life. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly right. We need to have faith be the guide through this whole process. And in my world, which is investing, that's really where I want us to focus today. But it's an area that is, I think, especially resistant to this kind of faith examination. Just to give you an example here, you know, if we were to ask the typical person to kind of make a personal assessment of how they think their investing is going, I think most people's minds would go to really just questions like, am I saving enough for the future, for retirement? That's the question we're always hit with in education today. And I know we all probably feel behind and bad about that. And that's not a bad question, of course. It just, it can sometimes fail to get us beyond the superficial to really examining some of the heart issues that are there. Now, of course, it does, investing does require diligence and sacrifice and planning. So there are some spiritual dimensions there, but hopefully you get my point.
Sure.
Now, I think even when we do bring the spiritual questions to bear on our investing, we can still stay at a very high level. So if I were to ask, how would you do a spiritual assessment of your investing? You know, a lot of people there consider questions really about greed and just how much they've given themselves over to kind of the distorted vision of retirement and the American dream and living only for ourselves and things like that. And while that's also important, really what I'm hoping for is that we can press beyond that and to ask something even more fundamental about the very companies that we're supporting in our investing.
Yeah, it's really helpful, Jason. And the good news is there are more opportunities than ever to allow your faith to be aligned with your investments, your deployment of capital. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's right. And there are many faith-guided, faith-based investments on offer today that can help us on the back half of such an assessment.
Well, after this break, we're going to dive into that and perhaps look at a better way to assess our investing that gets us deeper into the hard issues. Jason will actually unpack this process that you can apply to your own investing. We're joined by Jason Meyer, Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management. Much more on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Grace and mercy, two words that we hear a lot, but what are they? Two sides of the same coin. Grace gives blessings to undeserving sinners like us. Mercy restores desperately lost wanderers, also us. The coin is the Lord's love, and He's not stingy. All we need are empty hands and a heart that recognizes our need. Words of Christ in Matthew 11 remind us, all who are weary, come unto me, I'll give you rest. His arms are open wide, and His yoke is light. Grace and mercy are His to give, and by faith grace and mercy are ours to receive. Like He says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Spend more time with Jesus with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, an inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away.
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm joined today by Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, Jason Meyer. We're delighted you're with us today. We're talking about a process that you can use to reflect and perhaps even evaluate your investing in light of your faith. You know, so often when we think about evaluating our finances, we might think about a numerical evaluation. How are we doing toward our goals? But what about faith alignment as it relates to our investment? Well, Jason is going to help us dive into this particular area with a process, perhaps, Jason, a better way to assess our investing that gets us deeper into the heart issues, right?
Yeah, that's right. And what I want to share with you is actually an investing examination that came to me by a person named Ben Nicka, who's one of the contributing authors at the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. I just really like his framework. And so here's the way it goes. I'll describe it to you. At the end, I'll give you a link to a worksheet you can fill out. But it's very simple. It starts by first writing down all your investments, your stock investments, bonds, cash, whatever you have, real estate. And the rough percentage that you have allocated to each. And then next to each of these categories, to write down a sentence just detailing the rationale as to why you have that investment composition that you have there. Now, just to give you an illustration of this, I'm going to use Ben Nicka's responses that he gave me from a prior year where he did this. So here, listen to his as you think about your own. So he has an investment in cash, 20%.
Okay.
This is held at Synchrony Bank, which is convenient for him, and he says pays high interest rates.
Okay.
And 20% allocation to cash may seem high, but he's rather skeptical about the markets these days, and he's also saving up for a down payment. So next category, stocks, 40%. And he holds these in low-fee index funds. And the rationale here is, in his thinking, that index funds have generally been shown to outperform most active asset managers when you consider fees, and they're recommended by people like Warren Buffett. Bonds, 20%, held in mutual funds. This allocation is, again, perhaps a little high for Ben's age, but again, reflects his skepticism about the markets these days. And finally, he has a cash balance pension plan for the final 20% of his investments.
Okay.
Ben's a very fortunate person to have such a benefit at his employer, very rare.
Yeah.
And he really has no idea the way in which that pension plan is invested. So that's part one.
Yeah, that's really helpful as a breakdown. What else can we glean from this, though?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I think you can see is just most of the time when we're thinking about our investing, the logic is pretty straightforward around just our thoughts on the macro environment and the health of the economy and our own appetite for risk.
Sure.
And our need for a return. Now, I want to just move on to the part two of this exercise, which I think will bring greater clarity, and it's to make a second list.
Okay.
Okay. So we got our investing list. On the second list, what you do is you write down all of your philanthropic investing.
All right.
Including the rationale, just like you did with your investments. And again, I'm going to use Ben's list for illustration purposes. So 70% of his giving goes to his local church.
All right.
His local church plays an irreplaceable role in his family's life and the lives of other families. He's very proud of his church. 23% of his giving goes to the disadvantaged and unfortunate. So he gives to a couple of ministries, Open Hands Legal Services, which does some legal representation in New York City, a city he has connections to. And it pushes back on law abuses that exploit the needy. He also gives to Jericho Ministries and Community Emergency Service, which is in Minneapolis, another city he's connected to. And they provide services for the needy, both materially and spiritually. 7% giving goes to an area called Practical Theology, which is some Christian counseling resources from people like Dr. David Pallison. And finally, he gives some miscellaneous gifts, ad hoc from bonus and tax returns and things like that. And that goes to a few ministries, both in New York and the Minnesota area. Now, the introspective question is to compare the two lists and to ask yourself, what do you notice when you're looking at these two lists and the motives as to why you're allocating dollars in those directions?
Yeah, and it's clearly a very different thought process for each list, right?
That's right. So for Ben's philanthropic investments, he has a very detailed, actually left out a lot of detail, a very detailed understanding of the activities of each organization he supports and morally approves of them, even is very proud of them, and he believes they contribute to the flourishing of society and to justice in our world. And if these organizations were to turn from their core convictions and commitments, Ben conveyed to me that he would immediately cease his investments. Now, if you contrast that to the investing side of the ledger and the stocks and bonds, et cetera, there he has no knowledge of the companies that he is supporting through his investments, much less their activities. Of course, why? Because he's using investment products, things like index funds, which are a very passive approach to investing. He's really handed over the responsibility of choosing those specific companies, and he's really aligned with just the broader success of the market generally. Ben notes that his approach to investing is also morally passive in that it entails a kind of simple indifference to the moral quality of the work performed by the companies that he's investing in, the companies inside of the investments. So his investment strategy is really only about risk, return, convenience. And one of the comments he made to me is that if he stayed invested this way, he will have supported these unknown companies for nearly 50 years without truly knowing or engaging in the inherent good or bad of their products and services, how they impact customers, employees, suppliers, communities, environment, et cetera. Now, Ben's investments here are pretty typical, I would say, in the sense that most of us really don't know what's going on inside of our investments. And I think it can highlight to us the way in which we might need to consider how to bring that into the picture.
This is all really helpful, Jason. So how can our listeners use this assessment as they step into a new year?
Yeah, hopefully you'll do the exercise, and hopefully this exercise reveals to you the way in which you choose your investments and the way in which you give your money. And the way in which the motivations there should share some commonalities. While it's certainly appropriate and essential to consider the risk and return for our investing decisions, this exercise also highlights a common blind spot, I think, in investing today, namely that we often fail to consider the impact that our investing is having on the world, with very real moral and spiritual dimensions there. And so this investing exercise, I think, should just lead us to ask a basic question. In this new year, how can my investing choices be guided more by my faith?
Yes.
And really, the goal is to consider the ways in which our investing dollars are already having an impact and how we can do that to an even greater degree that aligns with God's vision for business and the world.
Yeah, to this point, it seems like to most investors that this area of our financial lives was just off limits. There was nothing we could do to really align it with our faith. And what you're telling us is there's an entirely different opportunity. So how can folks get more information about faith-guided investing, Jason?
They can go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. There you'll find the worksheet and resources for faithful investing.
That's great. Again, that's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faith, F-I. faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. Jason, thanks for being with us today, my friend.
Thanks. My pleasure.
We'll be right back. Stay with us. Much more to come.
With Benjamin Netanyahu back in the saddle as Prime Minister of Israel, will this new government be marked by prophetically significant events like renewed Jewish Temple Mount worship and a treaty prophesied in Daniel chapter 9? I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me and Bill Solis of Prophecy Depot as we engage the relevant theme, the peace treaty that triggers the tribulation, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Great to have Jason Meyer with us again here at a new year. If you want to reflect on your investments, perhaps get a bit of insight into why you're invested where you are, and perhaps complete this investment assessment that Jason described, just head to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi, and you can download that free resource today. All right, let's turn the corner. What are you thinking about financially today? We'd love to tackle it with you and help you apply biblical wisdom and principles to the decisions and choices you're making today. Whatever is on your mind, financially speaking, we've got lines open and we'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, that's 800-525-7000. Give us a call and we can tackle whatever you're thinking about today. Let's begin today with a listener email. We receive emails all the time from our listeners at askrob@faithfi.com. And this one comes to Julie. She writes, "Our furnace and air conditioning units are both shot. The replacement cost is about $12,000. One company offered us two different deals. We can either pay $10,600 in cash, or they'll arrange for us to get a $12,000 loan for 10 years with 0% interest. We have enough savings to pay cash. We have no other consumer debts. Help." And what I would just say is the fact that they're offering $10,600 in cash means that's probably the real price. That $12,000 at 0% interest has basically the additional costs built in. And so if you have the money to do it, you know, have no consumer debt, I would go ahead and wipe that out immediately and save that, $1,400 that you would be saving, to know that you don't have to worry about keeping those payments up, and you're going to save quite a bit of money. Now, if it was the same price in either case, and they were giving you 0% interest, and you just wanted to hang on to your hard-earned cash and pay it that way, you certainly can do that. Most of the time, they're counting on the fact that you won't pay it off, and they can kick in the interest and in some cases take that interest application all the way back to day one. But in this case, because they're offering such a significant discount, Julie, I'd probably go ahead and take advantage of it. Thanks for writing to us today. Again, if you have a question you want read on the air, just send it along to askrob@faithfi. That's faithfi.com. All right, to the phones we go. 800-525-7000. We've got a number of lines open. We'd love to hear from you today. We're going to begin in North Carolina. Heather, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
I'm 59 years old, and I'm a school teacher. I've been with the state for 20 years, but I really didn't start saving or any kind of retirement until later in life. And I just want to know if it was too late or some things that I could do at my age.
Sure. Is your retirement option only self-directed, or are you going to have some sort of teacher's retirement available to you when you get to that point?
Yes, I will have teacher's retirement. If I have 20 years with the state.
Okay.
And I think because of my age, I wouldn't have to go, you know, the whole 30.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. And so do you have a sense of what that would be when you get to that point? How much would be available to you, either monthly or in a lump sum?
Yeah, monthly. And it's according to what option you take, because you can do an option where you leave, you'll get less a month, but you can leave a beneficiary if something happened to you.
Sure.
When I've gone into my orbit with the different options, maybe it would be 1500, 1700.
Okay.
Yeah. And so you might expect that amount. If you're able to continue to work and meet the requirement, you could have somewhere between $1,500 and $1,700 a month from your teacher's retirement. Now, are you still opted into Social Security?
Yes.
Okay. And do you know how much you would expect there?
You know something? I went in probably months ago, and I honestly cannot remember.
Okay. Well, I think that's the next step for you, Heather, is to really do a bit of homework on two sides. One is on the income side to try to get nailed down exactly what you might expect from both your teacher's retirement and Social Security, so you have a good, you know, working knowledge of what that number should be. And then let's start working on your retirement budget. For instance, are there any expenses that would come off the table at that point? And the biggest one often is a mortgage. Do you currently have a mortgage?
I do.
Okay. And how many years left do you have to pay on it?
A long time.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you'd want to start looking at all of those expenses and just say, are there some things that could come off the table in retirement? Often folks will live on 70 to 80% of their pre-retirement income in retirement because perhaps they're debt-free at that point. Now, I realize your mortgage may be around a bit longer, and so maybe yours is slightly a higher percentage. But, you know, if you're not driving as much because you're not going to work every day, maybe it changes your clothing budget or, any number of things. You're not saving for retirement any longer, and so that comes off the table. Maybe you don't need life insurance because now you've saved, and therefore, if the Lord were to call you home, there's nobody that's depending upon you for income. That can be dropped. But let's try to get a sense of what that retirement budget is going to look like and then match that to the income you're expecting based on how long you wait to claim Social Security. Hopefully you can continue to work if you desire to do so and you're able to until full retirement age so that you can maximize your Social Security benefit. If you take it early, you're going to lock in that benefit somewhere around 8% lower for each year you take it prior to full retirement age. But if you can make those two numbers balance, your retirement budget, your expenses with the income, the teacher's retirement and Social Security, well, then at least you know as a starting point, you've got your monthly expenses covered. And then, you know, we're saving just for the unexpected or for long-term care or something like that that could be over and above your monthly expenses. Obviously, anything you can do to supplement that between now and retirement is great. And so limiting your lifestyle and then either accelerating your home payoff to try to get that off the table or, you know, saving in a Roth IRA, let's say. You could put in $7,500 this year because you're over age 50. So that could be an option as well. So I'd do those two exercises and see what you can do for your retirement budget. If you have other questions, give us a call. 800-525-7000.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
This is Jan Markell, next on Understanding the Times Radio. I talked to Amir Sarfati and Pastor Barry Stagner in part one of a two-part program. We discuss our future. We answer many questions on just what lies ahead for the believer and the unbeliever. For the Christian, it is all good news. That's next on Understanding the Times Radio.
Saturday afternoon at 1 Central and Sunday afternoon at noon Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free faith and finance account. Just visit faithfi.com and click sign up.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Well, as we think about applying God's wisdom to our financial and decisions and choices, you know, one of the things that we need to do is try to get on the same page as husband and wife. You know, this can be a real challenge. Studies will tell you that 70% of married couples have conflict in the area of money. And one of the keys to overcoming that conflict is, of course, communication. It seems like communication's always at the centerpiece of everything we do in marriage. But beyond that, specifically in this area of money management, what my friend Shanti Feldhahn, the researcher, the author of the book Thriving in Love and Money with her husband Jeff Feldhahn, found is that one of the keys to overcoming conflict is margin. So for those couples who were successful at having unity in this area of financial management, it wasn't a matter of how much income they had. It was the fact that whatever their income was, they were living below that. And there was something about having that cushion every month, that margin that allowed them to really overcome the conflict that can so often creep in the marriage relationship as it relates to money. And so that's why it's so key that this fundamental principle that we all apply on spending less than we earn is so important. It sounds simple. It's certainly harder to do because we have to guard against what I call lifestyle creep. We have to guard against this idea that as our income increases, our lifestyle just automatically increases with it. And for that reason, we've got to really plan our expenses well. Having a spending plan or a budget is really critical to that. Here's the other thing, though, that a budget does in marriage is it becomes an instrument of peace. Because now we've come together as husband and wife, made the hard decisions, wrestled through what are our values and our priorities and our vision for our family, and prayed through it. And we've established a plan that allows each of us to have perhaps a little bit of room for our own expression of our interests and hobbies and desires. But really, the core of the budget is decided on together, and it's done in a way that is in line with our values and priorities. And once it's finished, now it's an instrument of peace because we say, you know what, we've already decided in advance how we're going to allocate God's money, and now we can move forward together. And yes, we're going to have to make course corrections along the way, and that's why communication is key. But our ability to live within our means is so critical to overcoming conflict in marriage around money. And so perhaps this is a time for you to recommit to your spending plan here at the start of a new year. And if we can help, we'd be happy to. The FaithFi app is, I believe, the very best money management system out there in a smartphone. You'll have it in the palm of your hand. Plus, there's a desktop web app version of it as well. You and your spouse can stay on the same page by sharing an account. And so you'll be able to log in at any moment and see what's left in any of your digital envelopes by category. If you want to check it out, you can head to our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app or search for the FaithFi app in your app store. Wherever you download apps, just search for Faith FI. And thanks in advance. All right, let's head back to the phones. We've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000. Give us a call with whatever you're thinking about today. Let's head to Virginia. Eric, you'll be next on the program. Go ahead.
Oh, hey there. Just wondering about accessing a home equity line of credit without a two-year work history in the same industry.
Yeah, so you're seeking a new home equity line of credit, is that right?
Or yes, or a way to access equity in a home without a mortgage, without having a two-year work history. It seems like it's a struggle for these banks to understand and appreciate, you know, someone's situation, knowing they've got a large amount of equity, but they simply don't want to lend because they don't have a two-year work history.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's definitely a challenge, and I can certainly appreciate that. You know, if you haven't been on the job for a couple of years, your income won't qualify you for a mortgage. So, you know, obviously you can wait it out. The second option is you get a mortgage that you would look to replace. And so you can get a no-doc loan or a loan, you know, that looks at other aspects of your financial life. But it definitely is more challenging, and you know, it's going to require that you pay a little bit more in interest because, for instance, FHA loans require a job history of 2 years. I would kind of push back on this idea, though, Eric, of a home equity line of credit. Is there a specific reason you're getting it, or do you have a home improvement project you're planning or something like that, or you just want it available?
Well, I would like it available, and we are looking at projects, you know, continually. And it's just nice to have access to it. It's nice to have it paid off, but at the same time, it would be nice to have access to it, you know, should we continue on looking at projects and things like that.
Yeah, very good. I mean, the downside, especially to the line of credit, is it has a variable interest rate, which especially in an environment like we're in right now where the Federal Reserve is continuing to increase rates, and clearly that's the direction we're headed this year again, is those line of credit rates will continue to rise throughout the life of the loan, making it more expensive over time. Obviously, if you haven't pulled any money against it, then you know, you don't have to pay anything on it until you borrow. But
right.
If it were me, I'd probably wait until you actually need it for a specific project. You know exactly how much you need. And then I'd get a home equity loan, not a line of credit that, you know, will allow you to lock in that interest rate. And if you can wait, we expect later this year rates to be lower than they are today. But back to your original question, I mean, the key is if you know, you'd have to get a non-traditional loan in order to overcome that 2 year work history requirement. And, you know, even then, as I said, it'll be a bit more expensive. You'll need to prove that you're employed and that you have a regular or a steady flow of income, and then find a lender who will do it using, you know, other requirements. Obviously, your loan to equity is going to be, you know, quite strong, I would imagine, because you probably, if you own your home today, you're going to be borrowing a very small percentage of the total home value. Is it true that you don't have a mortgage on it today?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, that's obviously going to work in your favor. So you should have plenty of options, you know, especially if you have a strong credit score and given all the equity that you have, and they would be in first position, you should have plenty of options. I would either go online and, you know, you could go to bankrate.com and look for, you know, who has the best loan programs today. You could also look for an independent mortgage broker who could shop this around for you, Eric, especially given that you're going to be looking for non-conforming lenders, just given your work history. The second option is you kind of wait it out. Maybe you put some of these projects on hold. We get past the potential recession that's coming this year. Maybe interest rates are a good bit lower, you know, when you hit that 2 year mark. And now all of a sudden you're qualifying for, you know, the very best rates and terms, and you can lock something in, you know, quite a bit lower today if you can wait a year or two down the road. So I think those are your options to consider, but I'd probably, if it were me, stay away from the line of credit. it for sure. We appreciate you checking with us, sir. God bless you. 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue to tackle your questions. We'll head to Pam in Illinois and perhaps your question. The number to call again is 800-525-7000. Hey, as we think about applying God's wisdom to your financial life, here's the big idea: contentment. God wants us to be content, hold loosely what we have, and live within His provision. And that means we can't get caught up in the comparison trap. Much more to come on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
We live in a world that is filled with evil, and it touches us all in some way or the other. God doesn't say that we will not be touched by evil. He says that He will be there to help us overcome it and be victorious in the midst of it.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah as he shares his message, God's Love Never Quits, on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point, Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Just before the break, we were talking about options to tap into home equity for special projects at home. I want to mention that if you're looking for a banking partner who shares your faith and gives back to Christian causes, you might want to check out our friends at the Christian Community Credit Union, a wonderful resource, especially if we want to align our values as believers with those that we do business with. You can check out all of the banking options, including the loan options with mortgages, at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's the Christian Community Credit Union at joinchristiancommunity.com. All right, back to the phones we go to Illinois. Hi, Pam. Thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
All right, thank you. I have a sister that's 63 years old. She's disabled now. She worked for a company that she has a 401k in a Merrill Lynch account. And we have put it in 100% stable funds. But do we need to roll it over to an IRA instead and get it out of the company's
Yes. Yeah, that certainly is an option, and it's one that I like. Pam, how much does she have in that 401k currently?
Well, currently she has like $45,000 is all.
All right. Very good. And does she have any other old 401ks, or does she currently have an IRA?
She does not have any other 401ks that we are aware of, and she does not have an IRA either.
Okay, very good. And is this money that she needs to access right away?
Yeah.
So this can just grow into the future.
Right.
Very good. Yeah, so the benefit of the IRA is you have a lot more flexibility just in terms of how it's managed, the investments that you choose, the cost structure around whether you manage it yourself or you hire somebody to do that for you. The one challenge you'll have is that $45,000 is perhaps under what most advisors will require in terms of the assets under management to take responsibility for it as an investment advisor and make the buying and selling decisions. Would you be, or another family member managing this for her, or who would be the one to select the investments?
And that would be me, unfortunately.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. So how comfortable are you with that? And do you have an advisor you work with already? Or would you like some suggestions on where to go from here?
Well, I actually have a 401k from where I work.
Okay.
But they have this, I don't know what you would call it. But anyway, they invest it for me compared to when my retirement date is.
Yeah, so it's generally called a target date fund or a life cycle fund.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's an option, and you could do that either inside the 401k or when it's rolled out to an IRA, you could still choose one of those target date funds. So you could, you know, move it to a Fidelity or a Schwab, and then you could access one of these low cost target date funds that automatically get more conservative as you get closer and closer to retirement. That would be a great option. A second option might be to use a robo advisor like the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or, Betterment, one of those. But essentially, you would answer a series of questions based on her age and risk tolerance and goals and objectives, and then it would build a low-cost index portfolio using what are called exchange-traded funds. But these are just indexes that capture pieces of the stock and bond market. So depending on how conservative you want to be, it might be, you know, the bulk of it might be in bond indexes that, you know, have mirror, you know, the indexes for the government bond market and corporate bonds. Then there might be a smaller portion that is in the stock indexes, you know, small and mid and large caps, some international and domestic. But it's all done for you kind of through an algorithm based on the information you input. So that would be the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios would be a great option there. But if you want to just roll it out to an IRA and choose a target date fund similar to what you've done with your own 401k, you could do that as well. That would keep it really simple. And I'd probably do that in either Schwab or Fidelity.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, that's what yes, it does.
Yeah. Okay, very good. What you would do next, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, if it takes me a little bit to get to this, she's still okay because she's in 100% stable funds. I just don't want to lose her money. You know what I'm
sure. No,
I feel more comfortable, but with hers, no.
I understand. And obviously it's a big responsibility, and I don't, you know, nobody knows where the market's going from here. And so you can't really second guess yourself with regard to, well, should I have done it this day or that day? You just have to do the best you can in terms of saying, I'm going to take a long-term perspective. And as long as I'm using a disciplined approach and I'm choosing the investments that are suitable for her age and risk tolerance, then, you know, I think that's about the best thing you can do. I will say, although you don't need to be in a rush, this is probably a good time to go ahead and start moving this back into the market just because the market is down. Now, could it go down more from here depending on how severe a potential recession is this year? Absolutely. But it also will recover ahead of the economy, just historically speaking. So I think you getting that rolled out to an IRA, you know, sometime in the near future makes some sense. Get that invested. And again, don't worry about the quarter after or the 6 months after you invest. You know, we're looking down the road 5 or 10 years, and you know, you've got to keep that long-term perspective, even though I know this is weighing on you because you don't want to lose any of her money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Hey, if we can help further along the way, Pam, don't hesitate to reach out. Thanks for checking with us today. God bless you. To Illinois we go. Herman, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Well, hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wonderful. I've been wanting to call in for a long time, but like I told your screener, thanks for taking my call. I'm 66 and a half, and my wife and I were thinking of maybe retiring within the next 6 months, and trying to figure out whether or not I should take the Social Security Advantage, pull it out, or take the Social Security at this time, or pull some of the funds out of our retirement account.
Yes.
To make up a balance.
Yes, and so you're looking at whether or not it would the benefit of waiting and getting that increase in the benefit is worth you delaying it, even though you'd have to pull more out of the 401k. Is that right?
Correct. And seeing how the 401k is depreciating,
yes,
we are still putting approximately $1,500 a month into it. So it seems like we're putting into a bottomless bucket that keeps draining.
Yeah, the other way you could look at it, though, is as you continue to dollar cost average into that 401k, you're buying with the same investment every month, you're buying more shares because these shares are on sale. And so as the market recovers, and remember, even once you hit retirement, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, you potentially have a decades long need for this money. And so you can still be a long-term investor. And I would rather put money in, when I can buy things at a discount than I would when things are selling at, top dollar. So I think that's actually a good thing, even though I understand it's counterproductive and somewhat frustrating when we're in a declining market. With regard to taking it out versus waiting, what is the balance of that 401k today, roughly, Herman, and how much would you need to pull per month?
Well, what we're thinking, it's close to about $1 million, and we're thinking 4%. And so that would give us $40,000, and our goal would to have retirement of about $80,000 to $100,000. So the difference is around $40,000 to $60,000. And that would be where we would be the shortfall, and then maybe we would work part time still to make up that difference.
Okay, so you wouldn't take the full 80 to 100 from the $1 million. You'd still just rely on the 4% if you were to not take Social Security, and you'd try to make that up by continuing to work. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like that option a lot, Herman, because what that does is it allows you to still keep the vast majority of this account invested so we can take advantage of the recovery. I think pulling 4% is a very appropriate amount. That's the kind of rule of thumb we look at. Bingen, a couple of decades ago, did that study that gave us the 4% rule that says if we pull out 4% withdrawal rate, we have a conservative portfolio, probably 30% stocks, the rest in fixed income. We should be able to at least maintain the balance over time and pull out that 4% a year. I like the fact that you all would continue to stay active and have some part-time income to make up the balance and then lock in that additional 8% per year permanently on the Social Security benefits. So when you retire fully, hopefully the combination of the 4% plus the higher Social Security check gives you exactly what you need. Plus, if you guys ever needed it, you've still got the $1 million that you can tap into down the road. I think you'd be in good shape. The way the math works out there is, if you were to wait from 67 to age 70, it'd probably take you a little less than 12 years to make up through the higher check at age 70, the amount you didn't collect between 67 and 70. So you've been paid back in a sense for those 3 years you waited. And then as long as you live more than 12 years and the Lord doesn't come back, now all of a sudden you've got that higher check for the rest of your life. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. And that's what I'm betting on. But my wife and I, we keep looking at the market. We keep thinking, are we making the right move or should we lock it into a CD? But sounds like this might be the best way to go.
I think it is. I'd take a long view on this thing. I still think, we're in pretty good shape here and we will recover fully from what we're experiencing right now. Could we have harder times, down the road? Absolutely. But I don't see that on the horizon anytime soon. So I would stay the course. And I think you've got a great plan here, Herman. Thanks for calling today. I'm delighted you got through. God bless you, my friend. Hey, thanks for tuning into the broadcast today. Faith and Finance on American Family Radio is a partnership between American Family Radio and FaithFi. I want to say thank you to Robert Sutherland, Devin Patrick, and Pat Montague, my amazing team, pushing all the buttons today, doing all the hard work. Thank you for being here as well. Check out our brand new website at faithfi.com and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.